Matthew chapter number 19 together, and we're going to continue right along in our series, Passionate Parenting, learning principles from the Word of God that we can apply in our homes. And today we're going to look at being a committed parent, a committed parent. Now, Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, the Scripture says, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." The word twain meaning two, "and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, they're no more two, they're no more individual, they're no more opposite, but now are they one flesh." They're one, they're intertwined together. "And what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And God is clear in His Word that when God takes a man and a woman, and by the way, biblical marriage is between a man and a woman, and when God takes a man and a woman and He puts them together in the relationship of holy matrimony, God intends that to be forever. The two have become one, and God is clear in the Scriptures that no man should put that asunder. No matter what you face in marriage, we're to face it together and make through it together. There was a shortage of maids in this particular region of the country, and a minister's wife was getting desperate for some help around the house, and so she put an advertisement in the local paper for a male servant to come and to help out around their home. And the next morning, a nicely dressed young man came to the front door of the parsonage, and the minister opened the door, and he jumped right in to the conversation about the job description that this young man was to fulfill. And he asked the young man, "Could you have breakfast ready by 7 o'clock? And the young man looked at the minister sheepishly and kind of confused and said, "Well, I guess so." And then the minister went on, "Can you polish the silver? Can you wash all the dishes? Can you do all the laundry? Can you take care of the lawn? Can you wash all the windows? Can you iron all the clothes? Can you keep the house tidy and clean?" And the young man was just speechless. I mean, really disoriented almost at the description he was hearing now from the minister. And finally he spoke up and he said, "Look, Pastor, I came here to see you about getting married to my girl, but if it's going to be that much work, you can count me out." and sometimes we may not understand all that marriage is really going to take when we stood there and said, "I do." And the longer end of the journey, the more we discover, well, we were saying a lot in those two words, weren't we? And a lot goes to this, and there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of expectations indeed. And yet, one of the things that our children need from us is a strong, committed marriage, a strong relationship that they can count on, that they know is stable, and that they know is right, and one that is not just making it, but that is thriving, that is enjoying marriage, that they're watching from their vantage point a good example before their eyes. And it's interesting because oftentimes our children are killers. They are serial romance killers. Now, I don't know how it is in your home, but I think some children have this sixth sense when mom and dad might be feeling attracted one to another, and when they would like maybe some time to be together one with another. And it's like little alarms begin to go off in the heads of your children, and all of a sudden they need to knock on your door, they need to call your phone, they need your counsel, they're fighting with the sibling, they're lighting something on fire. I mean, something's happening, something's got to be dealt with, it's got to be dealt with right now. And they have a way of killing the romance in our relationship. I mean, to the point where they can even wake up on cue. It's like they have this preemptive sibling rivalry, that if they can prevent the conception of another sibling, that they somehow will have won favor over time or something. I don't know all that it is, but I know this, that children at times can be a great stress on the marriage and the romance and the fire of marriage. And yet what's interesting is one of the greatest things children need is a committed mom and dad who is all the way in love one with the other. I don't know, maybe you've heard of the poem, "Marriage at Early Urge," and just sit back and listen. "Nice night in June, stars shine, big moon, in park with girl, heart pound, head swirl, me say love, she coo like dove, me smart, me fast, me never let chance pass, get hitched, me say, she say, okay. Wedding bells, ring, ring. Honeymoon, everything. Settle down, married life. Happy man, happy wife. Another night in June. Starshine, big moon. Ain't happy no more. Carrying baby, walking floor. Wife mad, she stew. Me mad, stew too. Life one big spat. Nagging wife, bawling brat. Realized at last, me moved too fast. And it's amazing how adding another living human being in your home can just complicate everything to an extent that maybe we never would have realized in the beginning. And I certainly don't believe with the message of the poem. Suzanne and I are so blessed with the four children that God has given us. And we know that life and the gift of life is from the Lord, for which indeed we are grateful. But there is a reality to understand that with children, there can be a threat to your marriage and to the stable security and romance of the marriage if there's not the right priorities of the home in place. And the very thing at times that it feels like the children are working to prevent is the very thing they desperately need: a happy, fulfilled, abundant, overflowing, passionate, committed, romance-filled, Christ-centered, godly marriage. One of the greatest gifts you and I will ever give our children is a strong, committed marriage for them to have. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And we want to be sure in our relationship that it is indeed one flesh. This is something we must have in our home if we will be passionate parents and if we will have a strong home as unto the Lord. And so let's dive in this morning and learn more about being this committed parent, specifically committed to our spouse. First of all, I want us to see this morning the benefits of a strong marriage. There are benefits to your home and to your children now or when the Lord may provide those to your home. And let me stop and say this for a moment. We have some in the room today that at this moment, maybe you're here and your spouse is not. Now, maybe it's because you've got a little one that's homesick, or maybe your spouse is homesick, or maybe they're acting like a little one who's homesick. I don't know. But or you're here and your spouse is not here, but they should be here. Or whatever the situation may be. And today is not to pour salt on a wound. Today is not to expose a hurt in your heart. But I believe everybody who's going through something like that would agree with me that this lesson needs to be taught. Amen. Because this senseless trauma that's happening in homes all over our community and all over our country, where moms and dads are not strong and not committed, is hurting children in every one of those homes. And if we will come together in this class and understand the importance of a strong marriage and the benefit that it is to our boys and to our girls and to our young men and to our young ladies or to the family that God will give us in the future, we all will benefit from that. So let's notice these benefits of a strong marriage. First of all, it makes you a better parent. Having a strong marriage makes you a better parent. Why? Because the Bible is clear that two are better than one, and parenting is a team sport. Now, again, we have some in our class that right now in your life, you feel, I'm a single parent, whether that's the reality or whether that's just the perception with what's happening in your relationship right now. And I want to encourage you this morning that God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and God is with you, and with Him and His grace being sufficient, you're going to be fine, and thank God for a good church. But to every husband and wife sitting in here together thinking of this journey of parenting, I want to encourage you. You've got to invest in your relationship because it will make you a better parent. I personally cannot imagine in my own life parenting my four children without Susanna. I mean, I think if God calls one of us home, I just hope it's me, and because I think she would do a great job. But if it were me, you pray for Mariah, Lydia, and Lena, Joseph, and that's for sure. And I don't know God's future for us, but I'm thankful that today, together, we're a team. And that makes us both better. And a strong marriage will do that. Let her be. But it also makes you a present parent. When a marriage is experiencing and enjoying a season of commitment and passion and romance, then we want to be home. We want to hang around people who love us. And the more intimate and passionate the love, the more we want to be there and be together. It's interesting that when our marriage is doing well, we're finding excuses to get home. And when our marriage is not doing well, we're finding excuses to stay away from home. I mean, we're volunteering for the overtime. We're taking on the extra hobby. We're helping people we don't even know. I mean, we're whatever we can do, you know. Sign me up for everything on the card for leadership conference. And can I stay in the dorms or whatever, you know. I mean, we just kind of have this spirit of whatever it takes, I'm there. And it's not out of a pure servant's heart. It's out of a how do I stay out of the house more heart. But when marriage is right, when we're committed one to another, when our spirit is right, we want to be home. And I want to remind you here that it is a lot more fun in life to have a great marriage, a strong and committed marriage, than it is to have an advancement in your career. I think many of us are going to stand before the Lord someday and be disappointed that the things that we valued and poured a lot of energy into really have very little eternal value at all. And some of the things that we paid very little attention to, God was really looking for an investment of our energy and time and resources when you consider eternity. And may you and I be very careful that our relationship, our marriage relationship, is getting the investment that it needs. Why? Because it'll help us to be a present parent. We'll want to be home. Letter C, it makes you a happier parent. A strong marriage will fill your heart with delight, and you'll be a person that people want to be around. By the way, children like to be around happy parents. And children don't like to be around grumpy parents. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And having a joyful spirit is a positive thing. And all of our homes need that spirit. And a strong, committed marriage will help you and I be a happier parent. One that is ensuing the joy of the Lord in our life. Letter D, it makes our home a unified place. Now, God designed the family for unity, togetherness, and to have a singleness of purpose and heart. And when mom and dad are one, when they're getting along, when they're committed, when they're together, the entire home functions better. When your home is designed like two ships passing in the night, it doesn't function like it should. We've kind of got the his and her syndrome going, and there's very little collaboration. But when the marriage is strong and committed and doing well, the entire home benefits. It makes it a unified place. Letter E, it makes a whole family the standard. It makes a whole family the standard. Modeling a strong marriage in our homes is providing for our children a great example, and it is convincing them that great marriages are still possible. Listen, much of culture and society today is telling our children this is a foregone conclusion. Great marriages don't exist anymore. People that meet one another, get married right, stay together for life, that doesn't happen. That's a fairy tale. That's how it used to be. That's what culture and society is saying. Well, our home and our relationship should be an example of the opposite. They should be seeing that, no, this is still the standard. And with God's help, it can be a reality in their life as well. And we can say to them, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And modeling a good relationship and that they will see a whole family as the standard. Then letter F, it makes your kids want to stay married. We've advocated for years in our His Design class, may God give us the kind of marriages that our children look at us and say, I hope one day we have what mom and dad had. And I'll not do it this morning, but if I were to ask in this room, by raise of hands, how many of you dream of having the marriage your parents had? It would be sad, the number of hands to go up. Very few people want the relationship their parents had. Because it wasn't a good relationship. It wasn't a Christ-honoring relationship. It wasn't a committed relationship. But you can be the game changer on that. You can be the difference maker. You can be the initiator that from this generation forward in our family, it's going to be different. And that's the example that we are trying to set. And it gives our children a desire for a happy, biblical, married life. And it's worth the effort indeed. And so there's some great benefits to having strong marriages. But we're not going to have strong marriages unless, number two, we're willing to guard our marriage. And let's look at guarding your marriage. Guarding your marriage. Now, anything worth having of value is worth protecting. I would imagine most of you, as you left your home or apartment or condo or mansion or whatever you left this morning, that as you made your way to church, you made sure to lock the doors of your home. Why? Because with nobody there today, you wanted to be sure that if somebody were to come by desiring to do harm or to take things from your property, that it would deter them from getting in and doing damage, right? So you took simple precautions today to protect your valuables, your jewelry, your pictures, your TV, your furniture, whatever. Whatever in your home, you say, this is worth the locking of the doors. This is worth the setting of the alarm. This is worth the precautions that I'm going to put into place before we leave so that what is here is protected while we are gone. Okay? Now let's stop and think for a second. What protections do we have in place for our marriage? What guards do you have in place right now that is protecting your marriage? Are you taking precautions to make sure it's protected? Are you careful to make sure that the relationship is strong and protected from the onslaught and the attack of the enemy? If you and I are going to have a great marriage, if we're going to be a committed parent because we are a committed spouse, we are going to have to guard this relationship. We must guard our marriage. I want to give you some thoughts if we are delinquent in this area. First of all, letter A, if you leave your family, you rebel. If you leave your family, you rebel. You rebel against God. You rebel against His Word. You rebel against His design. You rebel who you are intended to be in God. It is not right to leave your family. And we have some in here this morning. I have no doubt, while I do not have a name in mind, that need to hear me say this morning, it is wrong to leave your family. You rebel against God. You rebel against the commitment that you made. It always looks easier to run away from a problem. Can I remind you something this morning? Very often they find you again. Very rare do you run away from a problem, never see it again. And usually the next time you see it, it's bigger, it's badder, it's uglier. The next time it shows up in your life. So we've got to be careful that we're not willing to leave our family because we would rebel against the things of the Lord. But letter B, if you leave your family, you rob. You rob. Think of it. You rob your wife or your husband of their hopes, their dreams, their future. Think of what you're robbing from your children. The life they now will have to live of instability and back and forth and so on. You say, well, it's going to be better than the way I forget where Suzanne and I were this week. We were in some place, some business or something, and there was a TV in the lobby or something, and there was a commercial playing, and it was a commercial advocating how two homes are better than one. And the idea, the premise of the commercial was, if mom and dad don't get along, it's better to get divorced and have two homes because that's the best thing for the kid. And I thought, what backward thinking? Did anybody ever think it might just be better to fix it? It might be better. It might be cheaper. It might be better for the kids. It might be better all the way around. Just swallow your pride and fix it. Only by pride cometh contention. God has never met a problem He cannot solve. You say, Brother Roll, you don't know what we're facing. I'm telling you, if you knew, you would say with me, it's impossible. No, I would not, because with God, all things are possible. Amen. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I may not know all that you're facing today, but I do know this. I know my God, and I know He can handle it. I know He can handle it. And if we'll leave, we're robbing of what that future could be. We're robbing of giving God the glory for being able to solve that problem. We're robbing so many from so many things in our life. And then letter C, if you leave your family, you lose. If you leave your family, you lose. Think of this with me for a moment. And I don't know who this morning in their mind is thinking of these things, but I just want to speak into your heart if you'll let me. You're going to lose a lifetime of God's blessings. You're going to lose a lifetime of a clear conscience. You're going to lose the love you could have shared with someone for a lifetime. You're going to lose the privilege of having a godly and respected influence in your children's lives in their adult years and over their future relationships. You're going to lose the joy of many years of family unity and precious times and memories and moments. You're going to lose the opportunity to mentor others through difficult seasons of life. You may lose your dignity as a faithful and respectable man or woman. You may lose a list of valuable blessings that we can go on and on and on with. And sometimes when we're facing a problem, we don't take the time to count the cost of what it will cost to move or to desert or to leave. And I just want to remind all of us this morning, it's never worth leaving our family. It is always worth staying together. It's always worth trying to fix it. It's always worth putting forth the energy to stay with it and to see God move us through. Whatever you do, don't leave. Whatever you do, don't leave. Whatever you do, don't leave. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. For the rest of your life, you'll regret it. And with God's help, you can work through. So there's benefits to a strong marriage, but there's got to be a tenacious effort to guard that marriage and a determination. Leaving is not an option. Divorce should not be a word uttered in your home. It's not an option. It's not an option. You get on the island, you burn the boats, you figure it out. That's what you do. You say, Brother Roel, we don't know how to figure it out. You know what? It's a blessing we have this book.
Amen.
Because that's where we go. God, we're at an impasse. We have no idea what we're doing, but we know you say you'll help us and we need your help. That's a good place to start. And he'll help you. And then maybe some counsel with a godly couple who's been married a couple of decades and who's had some of those times and can say, hey, here's how God got us through. But don't leave and don't give up. So we've got to guard that marriage. And then notice thirdly and lastly, how to keep your marriage fresh. Keeping your marriage fresh. So there's benefits to a strong marriage, but you've got to guard that relationship. But now I want to give you some practical thoughts of how to keep your marriage fresh. Now we've studied another marriage series before in the class. We'll launch one again this fall, but we're kind of focusing on parenting. But today's lesson allowed us to go in this direction for which I was grateful. And we've noticed before in our studies that on average, a dating couple will spend 15 hours a week together of uninterrupted time. The average married couple spends 5 hours a week of uninterrupted time. Now part of that is the kids. Part of that is those serial romance killers we talked about in the introduction. Sometimes they just monopolize your time. They're sick or, you know, whatever. Joseph came into our room early this morning, 3 or whatever, and he was, I forget, he was scared, sick, something hurt or whatever. And, you know, usually the dad's like, you know, build a bridge, get over it, we'll see you in the morning, you'll be fine, you know. And mom's like, no, you know, he might die between now and then or something, and we've got to make sure he's okay. So, and there's somewhere in there, there's a balance that maybe is right. But anyway, so we've got to work to keep it fresh. We've got to work to have that time together. And I want to just give you this morning several practical suggestions to help you win in the area of having a committed marriage that's on fire, that's renewed, that's energetic, that your children look at and say, that's what I want. Now listen, I don't know where you are in your marriage relationship this morning, and I'm not advocating that I'm in a perfect one because I'm in it, so I know it's not. But what I'm advocating is this, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. You say, Brother Roel, I'm here, my spouse is, and I don't know how this is all going to go. It's worth the effort. You say, we're both here, and I don't know if we're both going to give an effort. It's worth the effort. You do your part. It's worth the effort, and God will bless, and God will use it. So what are some practical thoughts in keeping your marriage fresh? Letter A, spend time together. A good marriage takes lots and lots of time. We cannot take a shortcut when it comes to time together. It was refreshing to see so many couples from our class come Friday night, and I'm thankful for the Savages and the Worthingtons and the effort they put forward to secure the child care and make it extra special and so on. But a lot of couples came and took advantage of that time to go get 3 hours uninterrupted, just be together and have a date. You've got to have some time together. Make sure you're getting time together. Listen, sometimes we're looking for that rocket science solution. Here's a simple one all of us can do. This week, spend more time together as a husband and wife than you did last week. We can all do that, and that'll help. Spend time together. Let it be. Listen to each other. Get back to valuing the sound of each other's voice. The Bible says in Psalm 1, O my dove, thou art left at the clefts of the rock and the secret place of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Has it been a while since you said to your spouse, let's just talk? Has it been a while since you said to your spouse, thank you for the talk? I just enjoyed the time together. I enjoyed listening to you. I enjoyed our conversation. I enjoyed this time. It was beneficial. Thank you for it. Listen to one another. Letter C, bless and care for each other. Bless and care for each other. Find pleasure in caring one for another, in meeting each other's needs. Delight in doing the little things and doing them well. The little things go a long way in keeping love alive. Get back to finding delight in them. Remember when you used to? Remember when maybe in dating or courting or engagement or early on in marriage, and just the little things were such a blessing, and how you loved to do them and anticipate the needs and be a blessing in this way? We want to get back to finding pleasure and caring for and blessing our spouse and doing the little things well. Letter D, retreat together regularly. Retreat together regularly. Find once or twice a year, a day or 2 days in a night, and get out of town and just be together. It might be a couple's retreat. It might be an anniversary trip. It might be a birthday. It might be a this. It might be a that. And listen, this was counsel Suzanne and I got when we were very early on in our marriage relationship. And I know they're needful because I know how much opposition you face whenever you try to take one. I mean, it seems like, you know, one kid breaks an arm, one kid's dying of chicken pox, one kid's, you know, got an F in every subject. And I mean, it's just, it all hits right when you're trying to go out of town. And it just seems like everything fights. Why? Because it's needful. And you've got to make sure marriage wins. You've got to make sure to keep it a priority. You've got to make sure to keep it a commitment. You've got to make it your job and your passion to keep your marriage strong. Because if you do, then your kids will win. And your life will win. And your job will win. And your ministry will win. Everything wins when your marriage is winning. So you've got to keep it a priority and keep it a commitment. Letter E, express physical affection. In many cases, when you watch married people, the longer they're married, the less they touch. Change that trend. Be intentional. Hold hands. Put your arm around your spouse. Walk hand in hand together. Get the kids out from between you at church and sit together. Be intentionally affectionate. Work at it. Make it a priority. Let the kids see you at home affectionate, holding hands, coming in from work and embracing and hugging and kissing and cuddling up on the couch together. Let them see you in that mode. They need to see you in that mode. They need to know that that exists in your relationship. And it needs to be on display. You say, Brother Roy, are we just doing this for display? No. But I hope our children know what a good marriage looks like from watching ours. And we want to make sure that's being modeled. Letter F, listen to good marriage music together. Get a collection of some good Christian songs that speak of biblical love and devotion. And we've got some here in the bookstore. But just get some good music in your home and in your life and your relationship. Letter G, dream together. Dream together. Look forward to things together. It might be like what you're going to do in the backyard this summer. It might be like the vacation you're going to take. It might be like the work that God is putting in your heart to do, or maybe an advancement in your career. But dream together, talk together, plan together, look forward and anticipate together. Common dreams unite the heart and brings clarity. Letter H, read books that challenge you. Maybe this summer, commit, you know what? We're going to have more daylight. We're going to have more time instead of more TV. Let's read a good marriage book together. A good marriage book read together and discussed can be the equivalent of attending a very well-prepared couples retreat. It can accomplish the same thing in your heart and in your relationship. And that may be a way to freshen and renew that relationship that you have. Letter I, wait out the weary places. Wait out the weary places. Now watch me. And we've been very transparent in our class. Every relationship faces tough times. Every relationship goes through valleys. Work pressures, financial pressures, busyness, health problems, relational discord, a myriad of other factors can weigh in and can cause problems to the relationship. And at times when couples are facing this season or this valley, their first instinct is just to jump ship. And instead, I want to plead with you today to look at each other in the eye and say, we're going to get through this. We just got to hold on a little tighter and look to God because He'll see us through. Every one of us are going to face problems. The difference is if we're going to face them with or without the Lord. And if we face them with the Lord, He will see us through and we'll come out on the other side. Letter J, forgive each other quickly. Forgive each other quickly. If we're going to keep our marriage fresh and committed, then we must be quick to own our own failure and apologize. We've got to get good at saying, honey, my bad. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That was my fault. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I could have done that better. Please forgive me. That ought to be normal conversation amongst married people. Because we're not perfect. And only by pride cometh contention. I don't know that I can go 7 days without looking at Suzanne in the eye and saying, honey, I'm sorry, unless I just haven't been around her for 7 days. Now, maybe that's just me. I don't know. I'm kind of an ornery guy, maybe. But there's going to be an opportunity to say, my bad, I'm sorry. And we've got to be quick to own that and quick to ask for that. And then we must be quick to forgive. If we've been hurt, if we've been slighted, if we feel offended, we've got to forgive. If you've got a spouse that's asking for your forgiveness, give forgiveness. Well, I'm going to make them suffer a little while longer and make sure they know what they did to me. I sure hope God never treats you that way. And I hope you and I will learn to give to people what God has given to us. Forgive each other quickly. Letter K. Laugh and enjoy your family. Laugh and enjoy your family a lot. Everybody has conflicts, but decide intentionally that you're not going to let your home be dominated by conflict. Your children should not come home every day wondering, what's it going to be like today? Do we go to the closet? Do we go to the room? Do we go to the backyard? Do we just sit in the car? What's it going to be like? Refuse to let your home be dominated by conflict. Refuse. Just say, this is not going to be the atmosphere of our home. We're going to have a good atmosphere. We're going to get along. It's going to be happy. It's going to be positive. And if we've got to spend more time in God's Word and in prayer and get Christian music in here and get television out and get this out and get that out and whatever we got to do to change the atmosphere, we're going to do it because we want a positive place, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Laugh and enjoy your family. Letter L, take walks together. Spend practical time together. That's a very, very practical list. But you and I have got to recognize the benefits of a strong marriage to our children. We've got to recognize there's an enemy that is bearing down on this relationship, that desires to tear it apart and tear it asunder because he knows the value of a good marriage to your children. So I encourage you, protect your marriage, guard your marriage, invest in your marriage, do everything you can to make it a committed relationship before God and before your children. One of the greatest gifts you can ever give your children is a strong marriage. I'm thankful today my mom and dad are still together. And the fact they're still together and happily married gives an exclamation point to all they ever taught when I was in their home. And if you and I will learn to have a committed relationship that is happy and is right, over the years, our kids will look back and say, I'm so glad they're still together. It's going to highlight, underline, bold, and exclamation point your teaching if your model stays the same. May we give that gift. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for some time together today around your word. Lord, we want to have homes that please and honor you. We want to be the right kind of husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. And Lord, I know that there are some in here today that they feel very much in their heart today like they're all alone. And God, I pray that they would be reminded you're right there with them. You've promised to never leave them nor forsake them. And with you, everything's going to be all right. To every couple that's here or represented here today, may we take note how important our marriage is in our home. If we're going to give our children a home that is going to help them come up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then it must be a home that is modeling a strong, committed marriage. And God, I pray that you would help us today to make our relationship a priority. May we see these benefits. May we be determined in our heart to guard it and protect it. May we be willing to make some practical, simple investments this week that our marriage would find its place, that it would be one that is committed, that is romantic, that is happy, that our children can look at and say, I sure would like to have what mom and dad have someday. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every home in our class richly this week. Bless now the service to follow and the special time for the first responders. And then we pray your blessing on our lives and families this week, and that you bring us back safely next week. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.